Okay, thank you very much, gentlemen, for staying with us, for telling us your memories, your stories, how much you've learnt. Fantastic. I mean, Chris, we've learnt so much from you, Nigel, too, as well. So thank you both. Oh, and pleasure. We're going to learn a little bit more because what have you been discussing this morning?
For me, the big story, the interesting story today has got to be what's happening at Marks & Spencer's. My goodness. They've just appointed Archie Norman, well known from his days at Asda, various other institutions as well, the Royal Mail and others. But he turned around Asda, ultimately being successful enough to sell it to Walmart of the US. He's been appointed non-executive chairman. The shares love it. They're up 5% as we speak. The question is this the final piece in the jigsaw for the renaissance of the high street champion,
M&S? It does seem very, very food-focused, though. We got there online. Delivery option or plans this week, didn't we? And he's getting someone in from Asda. Is that the way they're going?
But they just hired somebody from Halfords to run the non-food bit. Obvious source of places to find somebody. I think there's an obvious logical, you know, evolution between. No, to be fair, you know, Asda actually were tremendously successful developing their clothing side as well under Archie Norman's leadership. So you know, all things are possible. I think it's a very good, sensible, surprising announcement. I think the shares love it. Tells you everything you need to know.
All right, Nigel, for you, what next?
Well, I'm actually going to pick out what happened with Pearson this morning. The shares rose, I can't remember what the exact
10-11%.
10-11%, it seems the biggest riser. And here is a company, used to own the Financial Times, obviously very well known to people in financial circles, that made so many strategic errors, it just wasn't true. You know, they obviously got out of newspapers because they were worried about digital earnings and their inability to get those. And they moved into this area of educational publishing, which, in fact, everybody else was in, and the profits weren't very good. But just because they've actually not said anything worse, that they've kind of put a lid on the problems they've had to some degree, the share shot up. So I think it's a kind of real good example of what you were saying earlier, where you need to keep your nerve to buy on weakness and to be across a running story sufficiently to understand where there's a turning point. And if you can catch that turning point, then, I mean, even frankly, if you sold those shares quite soon, you would have made quite a nice profit. And of course, if you make that judgment the other way around, of course, you can lose a lot of money. And that obviously risk question is the difference between a good and a bad investor.
All right, then. We're playing market news tennis, and it's over to Chris. What's
so,
next?
The other thing you've got to think about is the whole Europe business. I mean, Goldman Sachs, you had the head of Goldman Sachs, CEO of Goldman Sachs, talking overnight to the BBC, saying something actually quite interesting about Goldman's felt that the UK was stalled in terms of its European endeavours. And from the perspective of Goldman Sachs' continuing operations, I felt, listening to his precise words, that he was unsure whether London would be still the centre of Goldman Sachs' European universe going forward. And obviously this has bigger implications beyond just Goldman Sachs about banking and financial employment and the UK's relationship with Europe and everything else. This is a story that's going to run and run. I mean, we all know that transitional arrangements, whatever they're going to call it, it's going to be 2, 3, 5 years before we have any definitive real view on the impact of the dreaded Brexit word. But, you know, a kind of interesting story from a big name. And it's going to send a few worries through a few people employed in the UK London-based financial services sphere about quite what the future of the city looks like. The reality is, as Nigel and I were talking about a couple of hours ago, bottom line is London's done fantastically well. Massive market shares in all sorts of financial services products. I'm afraid to say it probably is time for a Frankfurt or a Paris to take a bit of that back. And, you know, a Brexit and whatever else kind of is the catalyst for that. So I thought that was an interesting interview and we'll just have to see.
That kind of, in a way, leads us on to another question, and that would be, how will London reinvent itself, which it has been. The city's obviously been fantastic at doing that through the centuries. But are we moving towards a kind of UK as kind of aircraft carrier on the edge of Europe, and we might be more kind of Asian in our approach to business? We could attract a lot of hot money, but that might bring more money laundering with it, for example. Is that the kind of UK we want? I mean, there are many people who actually rather liked us being on the edge of Europe, slightly more go-go, but part of Europe. This is a kind of different world, and it might well be we could be very successful at it, but we've got to invent regulation very fast. We've got to work out in what ways we want to maintain European standards and what ways we want to be different. This, of course, applies to food as well. A lot of people don't like GM. They don't like a lot of the stuff coming over from the US, the standards in which animals are kept, all that. Well, this is a massive question, isn't it? It's okay, initially we can just adopt European regulation, but it's actually where we take it from that point on which will determine the kind of country that we are in the future.
All right, then. Back over to you, Chris, for FTSE pounds, please.
So, yeah, I mean, actually, it's been an OK day on the markets in the wider scheme of things. Currently, as we speak at the moment, FTSE 100 is up 0.1%. FTSE 250 is down slightly, it's the mid-cap index. European markets are down ever so slightly. Obviously, big events this Sunday with the second round of the French presidential election to look forward to. French market, as you speak, is down a massive 0.1% after hitting, of course, all-time high earlier this week. So, be calmed would be the word. We've got a huge number in the States later today. The big non-farm payrolls number everyone gets excited about. Not that interesting, in my opinion, personally. That's out at circa 1:30 London time. And then it's all going to be watching who's going to be the next recipient of the Elysee Palace door key.
Yes, indeed. Chris, we've learnt so much from you over the past couple of years. Firstly, thank you. Thank you so much. But you don't stop. We can still learn from you. Where can we go to find out?
So the best form always is my Twitter address, which as we broke on the show, Billy Bramborough did actually discover me via Twitter. So there you go.
There you go. The joys of Twitter.
It's not just Donald Trump on Twitter. @financial_orbit, that's me. So you can find all my musings, observations, everything else in life.
I don't think we can put it back in the box now, do you?
No. And I've got something for you, Joe. Obviously, it's a huge pleasure. I mean, clearly, I'm sitting in the company of some legendary broadcasters here. But I know,
what,
Georgie...
the other side of the glass?
That's right, obviously.
Like Joe and Janine.
Absolutely. I've got a couple of questions for you, Georgie.
Amazing.
And I know you like, you know, we had this thing going a little while ago and, you know, events and whatever has just torn us apart.
I know.
But I've got a two-parter for you, Georgie.
We should clarify what you meant there, because you are happily married.
Anyway, I'm going to tell Sarah Lover.
What would happen would be that Chris would obviously impart his knowledge about finance and the markets to us, and then he would ask me a question which inevitably I would have absolutely no idea and slightly humiliated for the start of the show, but I enjoyed it nonetheless.
And as you say, for the pub quiz requirements, it sort of enhanced and embellished some of your knowledge base. Anyway, always something relevant for the news. So today I thought it'd be on M&S. So the first question is, what year did M&S start selling sandwiches?
That is an interesting
Nigel
question.
Can chime in with a guess if he wishes. I mean, obviously, I'd be bow down to Nigel's knowledge and all food
all.
Stuff
I'll
matters.
Say
but...
91.
Okay. Nigel, would you care to have a quick estimate?
89.
1981 was the
really?
Answer.
What flavour were they?
And funnily enough, Nigel, you preempt the second part.
Oh.
Now,
the
prawn mayo sandwich is the most popular.
Yeah.
How many years, successive years, has the prawn mayo sandwich been the most popular M&S sandwich seller? For how many years?
All of them.
All of them. Okay, Nigel goes extreme.
I'll say...
Suggest, George, you do something. 10. Very close. The last year it was 2002. So for every year since 2003, prawn mayo has been the top seller. So there you go.
If you
ever wanted to... I wouldn't personally have one myself. I'd go for a Plowman's or something like that. Whatever. But, you know, there you go. Since 2003, it's been the top seller at M&S.
I'm an egg mayonnaise fan myself. But, Chris, do you remember how many avocados were sold in 2016, I think was the question you asked me, or 2015?
It was. It was an awful lot. I can't remember how many.
But all like I do, 6 million or
but
something.
But all I do know now, funnily enough, since then, do you ever see what's happened to the price of avocados? Avocado prices have gone through the roof recently. And there's been, you know, all this chat about inflation. There's been this new thing called hipster inflation, hipster food price inflation. And I noticed...
Bearded inflation.
I saw the chart of Brazilian cream cheese, and I'm sorry this isn't, we can't show it visually. It was shocking how much it had gone up. So all I know is if you are sort of partial to a sort of a... Brazilian cream cheese avocado sandwich from M&S.
That's practically a heart attack on a plate.
It's
they're very
probably gone up
avocado.
Quite a lot in price.
They're lovely, but they're very fattening.
On that note, Chris Bailey of Financial Orbit, thank you so much, Share Radio's Nigel Cassidy. We will not have heard the end of your dulcet tones, I am very, very sure, of either of you. But thank you so much
for your
brilliant work. Share Radio's Nigel Cassidy and Chris Bailey of Financial Orbit.